Sippers, welcome to this episode of the Tea Between podcast with me, Shane Todd. Before we get into the episode, a couple of quick things. Number one is Patreon. Patreon.com/TeaWithMePodcast. The link is in the description if you want to become an official sipper and join this tea-based movement. We have the bonus episode, the special brew, coming out every Monday. Live stream episode on a Friday. Exclusive access to gig tickets that we do, including the SSA Arena show, the one-off shows. It's all there. It's all going on. Patreon.com/TeaWithMePodcast. When we hit 3,000 patrons, who knows what we're going to do. Do we work that out? No, we haven't worked it out yet. We are sponsored by none other than Manscaped. These guys here have been leading the ball movement for quite a while now. They've been sponsoring Tea With Me since the early days. And the Sippers, listen, there is not a podcast fan base with a better scrotal recall. There's no, these guys, everyone's tuned up. All of the Sippers are tuned up, and it's because of these Manscaped products. Manscaped don't just do your balls and your bottom and the Pyrenees or whatever, the perineum in between. They do things now even for your face. If you're a guy with a beard like me, you know, they can cover that. I can only keep this thing ship-shape because of the Manscaped beard trimmer. Is that what it's called? The beard.
Hedge trimmer.
Hedge trimmer. Right? This isn't a hedge. It's what? Beard hedger?
Beard hedger.
Okay, the beard hedger. The beard trimmer. It's the hedge trimmer.
It's there.
It's behind me. Anyway, these guys offer you 20% off with the code TWITHME for 20% off and free shipping. Go and check it. They have absolutely everything. And they also have stuff like just aftershave too, which is just actual aftershave. Don't put that on your dick and balls. We're also sponsored by AG1. AG1 is a nutritional supplement that you drink every morning to support your whole body health. HOLE and WHOLE as well. It can be hard to know where to start with supplements and what to take and how much you should buy. If you look at all these clickbait articles, it's like, you need to be taking this, you need to be taking that. We don't get enough vitamin D in Northern Ireland. All this, all that. With AG1, you replace your multivitamins, your probiotic, all these wee yogurts and all your... What are you doing, sitting on a glider with a wee Yakult? You need AG1. We've been on it at Tea With Me for a wee while now. Every morning after my first cup of tea in the day. By the way, I'm on the decaf tea. We need to talk about this in the episode. I've been having AG1. If you're traveling like me, they've got these handy travel packs I take with me when I'm on. Like tomorrow when we record this, I'm going to Dublin. So you best believe I'll be taking my AG1 travel pack. It's gluten-free, nut-free, dairy-free, and there's no eggs or added sugar. Which is great if you're a selective, if you're chromed up like me. If you want to take ownership of your health, try AG1 and get a free 1 year supply of vitamin D and AG1 travel packs for your first purchase. Go to AG1.com/TeaWithMe. AG1.com/TeaWithMe. AG1.com/TeaWithMe to check it out. We're going to give away, what are we giving away, Dan?
1 month supply.
We're going to give away 1 month supply of AG1. All you need to do is comment on the YouTube of this episode saying, what, Dave?
I need vitamins.
Just comment, I need vitamins. You got to say it in an American accent. No, we won't accept vitamins. Hold on. Did you even hear what I said, or were you just thinking out loud?
I'm just thinking out loud. I was just in my box.
You had a real vote. Yeah. I need vitamins. Vitamins and minerals. You need to comment under this. I need vitamins. Do you want an exclamation mark on that?
Yeah, it's got to be in caps.
Okay. In caps. If you want to win a 3 month supply of AG1. Let's get into this episode. My guests are two lovely men. They are Andrew Ryan.
How are you?
And David Elliott.
How are you?
Started.
You sounded like you're in Yellowstone. Guys, great to have you here. Dave, can I just say, You're looking so Turkish.
Thanks. Thank you. You could not
look more like a guy who just, you don't own a kebab shop or work on one in Belfast. You just hang about them.
Yeah, socialise there.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm like, oh, you just eat guy? No.
Yeah.
I don't deliver it, but.
No, you're looking, what a glow.
Yeah, no, I'm actually raging because I've been moisturising flat out to try to keep my tan and it's not working, it's fading.
When you're just 8 guy cycles to the house, does he have a sidecar too?
Yeah. That's a lot of work.
But, make sure you get a guy with an e-bike. Andrew, I don't think you... I couldn't see you doing like delivery or Just Eat or anything like that because I think there's too much room for them to get your order wrong and then you're not... It's too much hassle to then phone them and get it changed.
I've done it. I did it in the pandemic.
Right.
But nowadays, I like to go out and sit in places rather than get the deliveries, you know. I went to Little Wing last night.
Yeah.
Brilliant. Out in Ballyhackmore, like...
It's a good spot. We saw you sitting outside Lynchpin on my way to the studio here.
Oh, did you?
You look like a scriptwriter writing something like top notch.
I was actually doing me accounts. Mm. Doing the Excel spreadsheet.
I wonder why you had an erection.
End of the month. End of the month, isn't it?
Yeah.
Need to know where I am, Shane.
I don't know.
You know that? He's the guy who goes to the Chinese takeaway and order in a spot and then sit and just look at the way you want to until the order's ready. He's like,
oh, very intense. No phone, no magazine.
I'm a nightmare to cut my hair. I tell... Like, I've gone through every hairdresser in Hollywood now to the one that I can find that will actually listen to me.
And then they do your hair as well.
The Turkish barber in Hollywood is brilliant, right? But he's very physical.
He's sitting beside
you. They're very physical.
Yes.
You know, they're pushing your head around and up and down. And like, all right, mate, all right.
The fire? They do the fire?
They do the fire, do the ears, they do the nose. And, you know, they're very handsy.
Yeah.
Then there's a place next door that's opened up. It's really nice. So I went in there, you know?
Yeah.
And then... I say to them, like, oh, yeah, can you just give me a one blade low, blend it into a two, and then I want the drop down to be quite low, but I want it to be...
The fuck are you talking about?
But I want
the drop down?
The drop down, yeah. So I call it the drop down, like. Do you not call it the drop down?
This is the most...
Well, Dave wouldn't know, but like...
It's the most elaborate hair order I've ever heard, and you're there. You're not even at the top yet.
No, I'm not even at the top yet. So I go...
Go from the start.
All right, so I'll go one there.
Yeah.
Then I want it to fade into a two.
Yeah.
And then you see the length there that comes down? It drops down.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
The drop down.
The drop down, right? I want that dropping down, but I don't want it straight. I want it chopped in.
Right.
So I want it messy.
Yeah.
So I say that to them. They're like, yeah. And then about 2 or 3 minutes into the cut, I'm like, don't forget the only chop in. And she's like, yeah, I know. I goes, when are you doing that? I'm like, when are you doing that now?
Because
sometimes they cut straight, right?
Yes,
which is great
to get
the length off. But when you cut straight, it's all lines.
Yes.
So I want it straight, but then I want you to go in again and I want you to cut down on it. So I want it uneven.
Yeah.
And when I start explaining that, they're looking at me going, I do this.
What do you ask for on top? A medley?
I want a trim and a half. And I want it. Did you ever get a trim and a half?
A trim and a half? Fosty's raging because he's bald now. He just threw his knee down. A trim and a half?
So basically, if you go in, you go, you know, you go in, you're going to get a trim at the top.
Yeah.
I go, instead of giving me two trims, like a double trim. So I want a trim and a half. So I basically I want a trim and I want half of another trim on top.
Right.
I mean, I'm going to say it's not the barbers in Hollywood that are the problem. Absolutely.
You're like,
not.
These barbers are unreasonable. You're giving them a fucking Dickens riddle when you go in.
So I want the drop down to be choppy, and I want a trim and a half on top. And I want thickness at the front. Thickness. I want it to be thick at the front.
What?
Yeah.
We don't have that word here.
Do you not want it to be thick?
You guys like, what does this guy want? Thickness. You want thickness, mate?
I go, Jesus. I want thickness at the front.
Google Translate might help.
Right.
Do you know what? I think the thing is, see, by the time you stop, you've got to the drop down. They're not listening.
Yeah.
They will just give you the haircut, especially the Turks. No offense, Dave. They'll give you the haircut that they want to give you.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're getting their standard haircut. So they're listening, being like, yes, mate, no worries. And then they'll just do it.
Yeah, like, oh, yeah. When I lived in England, I had the same hairdresser for 6 years, an Italian lady. She would cut my hair. She'd come in. She knew exactly how to deal with me. I was like, I want this cut. You know what I'm looking for today. And she goes, she's like, do you want to trim? I said, trim and a half. Yeah. And it was 16 quid, and I always gave her 20 because she'd put up with it. So I gave her 4 quid for the psychological trauma, for the anxiety.
That's
so,
wild.
So I've gone through all the barbers here.
You haven't? You haven't been to Coco?
No, hold on a second. There's three on the main street. So you've got the Turkish, which are great. The guy next door, he's new. He's really good. There's a guy and a girl there. And then you go right up by the Centra. You go in, there's about four or five of them in there.
Gary's,
yeah. So they're the three that I've been right. using.
You haven't been to Coco yet. Go to Coco.
Where's Coco?
In between here, like close to Lynchpin.
Right.
Coco, he's in the, it's blue and white building. We'll see it. You come to Jockstra after this? We'll go for lunch?
Yeah.
Okay, we'll point that out to you on the way. You need to go see Coco.
And will he be okay with me?
First of all, this
is dangerous for you.
You have your accent and Coco's Egyptian. You'll find middle ground somewhere. You'll find middle ground somewhere.
What if he goes in and fucks it for you? And then you can't see Coco anymore? You're like, see that guy?
Oh, Coco, like, if you disrespect Coco?
Yeah.
See, the thing is, Shane, I've always said that you're working with a great head of hair.
Yeah, thank
right?
you.
And I'm working with a great head of hair. But I've noticed it's going a little bit thin up there. So when I go in, I say, I want to tick this back, right? So what I do is I get them to comb the fringe down, cut it across, chop into it, but then I want, just at this bit here, at the front of the forehead, I say to them, I want the length to stay, but I want the behind the front, I want that to be short. So it's a bit of a puzzle to figure it out.
Yeah.
But they get it.
Dave's right. You need to go in with a photo and go that.
Jake Paul.
I couldn't do your head. I couldn't do your hair.
Yeah.
Because you're too high for me at the sides.
Yeah.
No, but he's too high at the sides. I don't have the shape. My head isn't. I can't do the height. See how he's high up at the side. I can't go that high because I don't have the head shape. Right. You've got the head. Your hair suits your head.
Right.
My head is it's a different shaped head. It's a southern head.
Right. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I want trim and a half. And
0 to 1, thickness fade at the drop, front. Fit 2, trim and a half, thickness. And we haven't even got to, what did you do at the back?
Oh, no. So what I want a layer. So I like a layer at the
like
back.
Like a layer or a layer?
Yeah, so you got to understand it.
Right, okay.
So I want a 1 to go up a third at the back.
Pardon?
So if you look at the back of my head, I want to see that there?
It does look third.
Yeah. Right. So I want a 1 blade to go for a third. The second third is a 2 blade. And then the third
that
is a 3. Why haven't you just noticed you've got a tattoo on the back of your tie? What's all that about? What's all that about, Shane?
The tattoo on the back of my leg?
What's the tattoo? Oh.
That man's responsible for the tattoo on the back of my leg. So
anyway, so I'm just saying that's where we are with the haircuts. That's where we are, lads.
Okay.
See before I went on holidays. My hairdresser was in his holidays.
By the way, crazy, a lot of people listen and be like, how the fuck does Dave have a hairdresser?
I'm like a black man. I go in just for the crack. You know, I don't really need to be in the barbershop.
You're a barbershop guy.
I go in and I just have a bit of crack. Yeah. So he was in his holidays, so my hair was getting like microphone hair. You know, when you have a shaved head, if it gets out, it looks like my wife does not like that. She's like, I'll pay for you. I was like, I don't need you to pay for me. I was going to do it myself at home. She went, no, you go, there's a new Kurdish dude down the bottom of the street. He's opened a barber shop. He'll do it for you.
He's Kurdish?
Yes, he's Kurdish. Right. Which is like Turkish.
I thought you were saying like Curtis with an Andrew's accent.
Just Kurdish. Yeah, this is Kurdish. Kurdish O'Flaherty. He's going to sort you out.
Kurdish O'Flaherty. I'd say there's a few of them knocking around.
So I went in and I said to the Kurdish guy, I was like, give us a... I just did one all over, and he got the blade, and it wasn't, nothing was coming off, and I was like, get rid of the blade, and he goes,
just freehand?
I was like, yeah, just get rid of it, and go at it, and then he was like, okay, he put me in a headlock and used a foil face razor, and it was so tight, like, it felt so weird and horrible. And
it looks great, yours looks great, especially with the tan.
Thank you.
It suits you, you've got a good look going, Dave.
I saw a guy who used to go to the gym that me and you went to, who had a...
Tom Smith?
No, he got the dots tattooed on. You know, like, so it looked like a skinhead, but it's all like dots as if you've just had a shave, like Dave's.
Oh, right.
But it was permanent.
Do you know the thing about those dots are? The micro dots are that your other hair that exists that isn't gone. Like, so here where I've lost a lot of the hair, and here, these bits, the old, like, you know, the Tony Soprano bits still grow.
Right.
So you'll just have like a Tony Soprano if you haven't been on top of it with all these weird dots in your head. It looks weird.
Yeah. But as long as you're shaving it every day, I guess it's all right.
But you don't
that same guy was drying his pubes, obviously wasn't a Manscaped user, with hand dryers in the gym. And my dad ratted him out.
But does he have pubes or just dots?
Oh, yeah. I put in a complaint to my gym recently.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, no.
Yeah.
How come?
People slamming the weights down.
Yeah.
When I finished using them. Yeah. And the floor vibrating.
Yeah, I hate that. There's zero reason.
It's intimidation, and it also affects people, you know, new people to the gym who are not gym confident. The floor vibrating and all that. And I think I went down and I said, listen, can you do something about them slamming the weights up there?
And is it big guys, like meathead guys?
I'm telling you now, right? I was in the gym, right? I go to the gym 3 times a week, right? I'm just bang average. I go to the gym to stay the same. I'm not there to train anything. I do it just for, you know, just to stay the same.
Was that David Goggins' motivational video?
Yeah.
Stay the same!
Stay the same. Anyway, but there was a guy in the gym, man, and he was, and I mean, lifting the bars, and I mean,
making a point, them. Right.
And there's people in the gym, you know, who are not overly gym confident, and it's very intimidating, and the floors are vibrating, and they're making all these noises. And I was just going out, and I know one of the girls that works there, and I was like, hey, how are you getting on? I said, listen, do something about those guys slamming the weights down. And she goes, yeah, you know, we did a survey recently, and that was one of the things that came up. And I was like, okay, cool. I said, well, just put a few signs up, you know?
You didn't go over and say anything to the fellas, no?
Are you fucking mental?
I was.
Do you act, Shane, there's no way I'm approaching a man lifting things that are heavier than me, like.
My dad is the worst guy. It might be the same gym you go to. You go to one near your house?
Yeah.
Right. My dad has gone into so many arguments, exchanges, quarrels. One last week where a guy in the gym car park opened his door and it hit my dad was sitting in his car. It hit my dad's car just slightly. But my dad got out of his car and was like, you hit my door. And the guy goes, fair play to the guy. Good banter. The guy goes, not it. Yeah. And dad's like, you did? And the guy goes, don't think I did, mate. Uh-huh. And my dad said he was like in his late 30s, this guy. My dad said, and I quote, I stepped to him.
Stepped in?
Yeah, my dad's 73.
Brilliant.
I stepped to him. But my dad, like, oh, he's constant with the people in the gym. Like, because he's at that age where, like, everything he sees pisses him off. Yeah.
Why is he approaching people like a street dancer?
What do you mean?
Stepping up? Like, what have you got?
Yeah, so have you heard anything back from that?
No, but I was in the gym the other day and they were doing it again. Now, look, it is what it is, but like, I don't want to be a moan. I love the gym and I like the people. It's a good gym and stuff like that. But there's a few things that happen that you notice subtly, right? So the gym I go to, they have green AstroTurf and they have boxes. And I tend to go there and do a lot of, I stay in a box and I do my little, I stay in the little box and I've got my little exercises, like, you know what I mean?
Thought you were under, like, the box jump thing.
But like, I kind of go into the box and that's my space to do my exercise. Yeah. I only go in for 45 minutes. And so I'm in the box, I'm doing push-ups. And obviously this guy just decides to, like, walk into the box.
Gets in your box.
But there was no need for him to come near me.
Yeah.
Do you know what I kind of, it's like, mate, you could have just walked around, you know. Small things like that, like, and it's 80% men in there, like, and it's fine, but the slamming of the weights, but it's not just pissing me off. You can see people next to them getting annoyed by it, like, you know what I mean? It's just the floor vibrates and shit. Now, it's a first world problem. You know,
instructors need to go up and say. You
know? Dave talks to himself, see when he's doing a bench, if he's going for it, and he didn't know he was doing it until I pointed out. He had headphones on when we went to the gym, I think we were in Edinburgh, and he was going for a big bench press. And he said something to himself, and I'll tell you what it was. He said it, and I went, after he took his headphones out, I went, what was that all about? He goes, what was what? I went, you were, like, talking to yourself there? He goes, oh, I had no idea. Do you know what he said? He got himself, like, ready to go. He gets his chalk, he gets under the bench. Heavy metal. He had a bit of heavy metal going.
Yeah.
And he started talking to himself, and he didn't say something like, come on, Davey, or something like that. He said, at this tone, he said, come on, sucker. And starts pushing the weight. That's weird, isn't it?
It is weird, yeah. When you point that out, I didn't really know how to respond to that. Yeah. I was like, I didn't know they were the choice.
He used to work in that gym.
Yeah.
Did you?
Yeah. And you know what? Do you want to hear it? Here's a good line.
It's a good gym. It's a great gym.
But they fucked it. That's why we left. But now, if you're lifting the weights, you should go up to them and go, excuse me, mate. And then he goes, oh, aye. You go, if you're big enough to lift them off, you're big enough to put them back.
Yeah, I wouldn't say it. I wouldn't really say that. But and then do this. Scared.
Slay queen. Yeah.
And
walk away.
I so here's the story of this tattoo. Change subject. Dave and I used to do a radio show on Radio Ulster. RIP. Not Radio Ulster, still going. But
Very strongly, actually, as well.
What time?
Give me less strongly now, I think, with some recent additions.
Give me some context of what time the show was on. What was the show about?
Oh, no idea what time it was on. It was the Shane
pre-record.
Touch. Yeah. Pre-record.
Right.
As part of it, it was back in the day, many years ago, it was everything. It was sketches, it was stand-up, we didn't know what it was, play music.
Did we go to, like, a country park one day and look at owls?
There was an owl. No, we sent Paddy McGarkey to look at owls.
Right, and you report back. Bizarre. And what did he report? I saw owls.
Yeah, and it's hard on the radio. to just be like, because we could have lied. He's like, oh, there's an oil alarm here. But there was.
But because it was radio, we thought the oil would have made the noise, but it didn't. So we had to go into, you know, a dead studio space, and you had to make oil noises. And then pretend that was what it was. And Paddy directed.
And see why you got cancelled.
Is this not how an oil looks? Because I had an argument with Catherine about this. She goes, I was reading a kid's book.
About oils?
About oils. And it was like something about an oil, and I had to make an oil noise. Just going through these animals, and I went, haroo.
Sounds like Paul Gascoigne greeting you.
Is that the one oil makes? Do an oil noise.
Hello, Dave, mate.
Hello,
I think we might, I think podcasting might be done. Yeah. We might have just hit the wall. So, as part of this, we used to do a quiz every week, Shane v. Dave. It was a general knowledge quiz. And the whole thing was, at the end of the series, the winner gets to pick a tattoo for the loser.
Oh, right. So, like what Paddy and William did.
Yes.
No.
We had done this many years.
All right.
Was like,
so
the OGs.
Yeah.
So I lost. Somehow it was fixed. The general knowledge quiz against Dave. And I got my own back under the mock blame. Spoiler alert. Fair. But if I won, I was going to make him get a tattoo of a on his arm of a portrait of my dad's face. But whenever my dad was much younger, so it would confuse people. Because if he's like, oh, Shane's dad, they'd be like, the guy's like 30.
See, if he did an old photo of your dad, it would have looked like probably somebody involved in the Troubles.
You know, yeah, because he had like cash in the long hair.
Yeah, it would have looked like he's like a hunger striker.
He looked like my dad looked, because my dad's a very, very swarthy guy. Very swarthy.
What swarthy mean?
Swarthy, like very tanned.
Oh, tanned. Yeah, just say tanned.
Looking dude.
Yeah, swarthy's a better word.
Is it? I've never heard that before. Is that a Northern Irish thing?
Could be.
Yeah.
No, could be. No.
Never heard swarthy before.
But my dad has like quite dark hair too. Well, not anymore. Back in the day, he did. And he had like quite like a, you know, like a black moustache and long hair, very tan skin. So my dad looked like
Prince.
He looked like the paramilitaries outsourced, you know, like a bandito.
All
you know,
right.
Like a Mexican guy over.
Yeah.
It's the first time I've said bandito.
El bandito.
Yeah.
This will be your next tour show.
El but yeah, he's a small tan guy.
I can remember, can you say, if the I-N-L-E-L-A? I-N-L-A?
That's pretty good.
Thank you.
I-N-A. But yeah, but I lost the bet, so Dave picked my tattoo. So it's a tattoo that says the Todd Father.
Oh, very nice.
Which is something I'd never called myself up until that point.
Yeah.
But it looks like I do call myself because I've got a tattoo on me. And I'm godfather to Dave's oldest daughter, Holly, so it's got her date of birth in there as well.
Oh, that's a nice touch.
Yeah, but then when I had kids, my wife was like, you're going to need to do something because it's weird if you just have another child's date of birth tattooed on you and not your own kids.
Yeah.
So I got my own kids tattooed on.
Oh, wow.
I wish I'd have got Only God Can Judge Me Now on you. That would have
been every on my back, just a giant, every saint has a past, every sinner has a future.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah.
Like in Times New Roman. Not Times New Roman.
I watch a lot of these American prison documentaries. You know the guys with tattoos, if they've got a teardrop, does that mean they've killed someone? There's a tattoo to show that you've killed.
But I also think somebody who hasn't killed someone could conceivably get a teardrop tattoo.
Andrew, we could take you. There's a place called Crooked Mile Tattoo Studio in Hollywood. Let's get you one right now and then go back to the gym and go.
They won't be able to cope with me. I'll be like, no, this is the way I want you to do it. Yeah. They won't be able to cope with me. But is a teardrop a symbol of you've killed
somebody? I think it is, or it was, but now
it's only when in gangs. It's only when in gangs, though.
Yeah. Yes.
If you're in a gang and you've murdered someone, you get a teardrop.
I think so.
Okay.
But then people started copping on, like Dave says, and then if you're like a normal guy who's going to jail, just find a tattoo artist, go, give me like 10 of those and just walk in and go, here, lads.
I'm keeping my lunch money.
How do you think you'd do in jail? I think you'd be okay with the routine, but
love the routine.
Before we get into jail, I want to know, so if a teardrop in your face means you've killed a person, that rapper 6ix9ine, what does having loads of 6ix9ines in your face mean?
This is it?
He's had a good time with the ladies.
Or lads.
I think prison.
You love prison.
Would suit me so much.
Yeah.
Oh. But I'd want my own room now. I'd say to them, like, I'd say, listen, I'm happy with. I want my own room.
Yeah.
Preferably at the end of the corridor, away from the busy mezzanine areas.
I think that's how it works.
You know what I mean?
Like, yeah.
If you can put me down the end.
Yeah.
And I'd be good. I'd do the mopping, and you know, I'd be. I'd like to think I'm the guy that they'd come to for the advice. You know.
Yeah,
not on prisoners. Like, cut the inch.
Yeah,
you know, I think I'd be good. I watch a lot of prison documentaries. I mean, I used to work with kids who were kind of in and out of prison.
Is that why you'd be in prison?
Huh?
What would be the reason you'd be in prison?
What would the reason I'd be? I'd probably be in for. Do you know what?
Tax evasion.
No, I'm very good with that.
I know, but that's what someone who, but that's what someone who's going to get arrested for tax evasion would say.
Yeah, do you know what I'd be in for now? I'd be in for assaulting a barber.
Yeah,
something like that. Yeah. You're like,
you didn't do the drop. No drop.
You didn't do the. No, I don't really know what I'd be in for. Really,
you would like. I think. Yeah, I think you'd like prison, Dave. I think you would. They'd would you'd walk in and they'd go, "Oh shit, who's this guy?" Uh-huh. And then very quick, like they would just like see you as some sort of like hard guy, and then after one night when they heard you crying, they'd be like, "This guy's alright."
Mm-hmm. I'd say you'd go to prison because you weren't allowed to see your kids. And you did something.
That's illegal.
Yeah. No, but you did something to the ex-wife, like.
Yeah. He's still married. I mean,
do you know that kind of way, like.
It's totally baseless.
You've got that sort of.
I don't know what you mean, but yeah.
You've got the sort of, like, she won't let me see the kids, but she's not seeing them either now.
Yeah, forever.
You know that kind of way? You know that kind of. You're kind of.
You're like, who are those guys' dads for justice? And you're like, we're going to climb this, and then the end, you just don't climb it.
Yeah. So I just go 6 feet up. No.
There'd be a documentary, like, you know, Dave Elliott just sitting on the bed and be like, well. She won't let me see the kids, so
I don't like. I would hate to go to jail.
You could. I think out of all the people I'm friends with, you're the most likely to end up in jail. But it'll be because of like ignorance or lack of. You'll have not done something that you're supposed to have done, and they'll be like, "No, you have to go to prison."
Yeah, it'll be complete like, absolutely not my fault.
Do you need to tax your car?
Fault. Yeah,
I never knew that. Well, sorry.
But do you know what? You remind me. You didn't me home insurance.
You need.
I forgot.
But you don't need home insurance. It's better to have it.
Can I just say, Shane, if you did go to prison, you're Category D, and you're in an open prison, so you're allowed out. But you'd be back for five.
But like a North Down prison.
Yeah, you'd be back for five. You're allowed to go for a walk down Helen's Bay, but you'd be back in for five. Like, yeah,
but it's Category D, not something that the harder prison. Must be like, oh, he's a Category D on there. If you know what I mean.
Yeah, but I'd say you're the kind of guy now that you'd be in with the screws.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
You'd be up with the screws, you'd be going, have you seen who United have signed?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And they'd be like, anyway, listen, I'm going back to the cell, I lock it myself.
I'd be what? Yeah.
You'd be telling the screws, you'd be wee tight, you'd be going up.
I'd be super tight in jail. Yeah. Oh my God, GoPro on my forehead.
I mean, I'm not saying that there's any contraband in cell 4.
Yeah.
But you'd be going up to go, have you heard of Manscaped?
Yeah. And then they just give
you a wee feedback.
Davey, how was your holiday, mate?
I was away, I was away. I was in another country.
He's in Portugal.
It wasn't a holiday.
You two are polar opposite ends of going on holiday. Like, you wing it a lot of the time.
Yes.
Going on holiday and that kind of thing. He'll just, like, go.
Yeah.
And your wife will do, like, a lot of the booking and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
But you two couldn't go on holiday together.
Do you know what? Me and my wife are very much, let's put it in the football terms. I am...
Andy Cole and Dwight York.
No, I'm Didier Deschamps. Right. You know, I do all the... In fact, no, she's Didier Deschamps. She does all the behind-the-scenes stuff
that
nobody appreciates.
And you're gliding about.
And I'm
Zidane?
No, I'm not. I'm Gabriel Cissé.
Right.
I just occasionally come on, do something flamboyant and pointless.
Right.
And then go again. Whereas, like, she'll organise it all. And I don't get excited about holidays until the day before, because there's other stuff to do, where she'd be excited for a week. So you're excited about holiday? I'm like, nah, because of loads of stuff to do. But when...
I would say the stuff you hate, by the way, on my own podcast, never do this to me. Continue.
Yeah. That's
sure. So I'd say, I think the things you don't like doing for holidays, like the admin, that kind of thing, is the stuff you love doing for a trip away.
This guy goes...
the most exciting part of the holiday for me.
He buys...
He packs.
Poly
you
pockets.
Pack when you book
Do you know I booked to go to Rhodes?
Right.
I'm due to go to Rhodes where there's wildfires at the moment.
Right. You saw those wildfires and got on Skyscanner, you're like, yeah.
No, I'm thinking, I might move a hotel, get somewhere cheaper now. I'm only joking.
People do that.
Yeah, but I wouldn't do that. But anyway, I'm due to go to Rhodes at the end of September for a week. Hopefully, touch wood, everything's going to be okay.
It will now that you've done that.
You know what I mean, right? Mm-hmm. I didn't actually touch it.
Yeah. It's not real wood,
though. Right, but let me put it this way. So I get very excited about booking stuff. Like booking.com, so we booked this place. And we got one of these apartments. It's in a hotel complex, but we went for the junior suite. But I've booking.com genius, which I've get up to 15% off, right? So what you do is, did you ever get the issue where you either pay now and it's cheaper, or pay at the property and it's a little bit more expensive?
Yep.
Oh, the drama. The drama.
It's not drama.
It is, Shane. For me, that's drama, right? So I go, right, well, what do we do? So what you do is you got free cancel. I've free cancellation up to 2 weeks before I go.
Can I just say, I see you doing this and being on booking.com. I think you have a projector in your house and I think you put that up on the wall. You get booking.com up on the wall and you make a real...
This is what I do.
Like, you have a headset on, different
like,
screens.
You know, wait, at the start of like football seasons or like NFL seasons, they do like Dream Picks fantasy football and they get all the boys around and they all come around and like you're doing this pick and they make a night of it. You do that with booking a holiday. You get the full highlighters.
It starts with the flights, right? We've got Dublin or Belfast. What's the flight times from Belfast? What's the flight times from Dublin? Take into account the parking in Dublin to travel down the petrol to stop at the Apple Green. Then you got to look at that. Then you got to look at that and you think to yourself, what time am I getting off work? What's the return flight? Right, do I fly late in the evening? If I fly late in the evening, there's a potential for more delays. Therefore, do I want to be driving up delayed coming into Dublin and then a 2-hour drive up to Belfast? No, but the flights from Belfast International are more expensive than Dublin. So what I do is I will counterattack that and say, well, I might as well pay the bit extra from Belfast International to get the expense, to reduce the expense of going to Dublin and the hassle because potentially driving down to Dublin, you can have car problems, flat tire problems. You got to take away all that sort of risk, right? So this one, we're going from Belfast International. We're flying out at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, which is a very good flight time, which allows me to do the radio in the morning. I don't lose a day's wage. So then...
Andrew, could you do something for me?
What?
Blink.
Right? So then we arrive at Rhodes. I've already started the transfers, right? There's an app called Island Hopper, which is much, much cheaper than actually getting the local taxi guys because they're all on an extra 30% anyway, right?
I'm like, and they all look like Dave.
I love being in your country, but I'm here for me.
Right.
But then what we did was we decided to pay later, which is we're paying later, but we've got up until the middle of September for a cancellation. So every couple of days I go back into booking.com incognito and I look at the other resorts within the area. Have they panicked because it's 4 to 6 weeks before you go on holiday? When they don't have those rooms filled, they reduce the prices even more.
Right.
So I then go back in, and if I see somewhere better for the same price or better for a little bit cheaper, I can always cancel that hotel and move into the other hotel.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm always looking.
Can I tell you something that'll make your blood boil?
What?
I once had booked a holiday for me and my wife, who's my girlfriend at the time, and it was like a week away from the holiday, and I was actually in the gym car park of what the gym you were talking about, and I got an email from booking.com that said, how did you enjoy your stay at the name of the hotel in France?
You forgot to go on holiday.
I got the week wrong.
So the flight's right.
Yeah.
But the hotel wrong.
Yeah.
Doable. Doable. It happens.
No, that does not happen in your world.
Oh.
But he is this guy just easy breezy.
Yeah.
But when you get the holiday, do you open the shirt? Do
you get back the holiday?
When I get the holiday, man, I'm brilliant. I'm brilliant.
Do you lie back and relax, or do you worry?
Does he relax?
Yeah, that's what I need to know. Do you relax?
No. This man does not own a vest or a pair of shorts.
Can I just tell you something? When I go on holiday, right? I was in Scotland last week. I went to Scotland last week, right? Now, I did work every day while I was there. I did have to do a bit of work, you know what I mean?
Yes.
But I did relax, and I'm learning how to relax. But this particular holiday, I am really trying to make sure that I really enjoy it, because if I go there knowing I've the best flight times, I've the best hotel available, I've got breakfast included, the reviews for the breakfast are decent. What?
Rate my score.
I know I've done the best I can do, and that's all that matters, right? Last week I was going to London to do a show and I booked a flight and I thought, I haven't booked this particular flight. I went down, it was £45. When I went into the EasyJet, managed my bookings things, didn't I already have a flight booked? I had two flights booked but I'm in the secret EasyJet club. You know there's a secret EasyJet club?
Yeah, right? Only because of you.
Right. So I ring secret EasyJet club, special number, right? I'm like, Andrew here, 5514. I give him my membership number, right? They're like, how's it going? I'm like, we're keeping well. Got me a haircut. Have you ever had the trim and a half? Anyway, so I've changed the flight to later in the year, blah, blah, blah. But the minute I found out that I'd booked the two flights, now the first one flight would say £45, the other one was £30, so £70, easily done. I couldn't sleep that night until I knew that EasyJet secret flight club number was open at 9 o'clock. I was like, I can't believe I've done that. I cannot believe I've booked two flights and said, that's not me, like.
Yeah.
So I went down, I changed it, and I resolved the issue. But I like to be in control, because I was a victim of a very bad fraud many years ago, and the guy that committed the fraud against me got 3 years in prison, and he took £2,000 off me, and...
3 years for £2,000?
But it was me and a load of other people as well. It culminated to about 200 grand he got, but I was like two grand. And ever since then, I'm like, I'm not letting anybody fucking take money off me. Yeah. Now, I'm not tight. I blow money. Like, I spend a lot of money, right?
That's my nickname.
But when it comes to things like home insurance, car insurance, all these type of things,
yeah,
I will always make sure I get the best deal. I have a gardener today up in my house. He's doing my back garden, right? He gave me a quote. I'm happy with the quote.
Yeah.
Right, I'm happy with that.
Oh, fuck. If that's how you talk to a hairdriver, how do you talk to a gardener?
Right.
Jesus. Yeah. Gardener, see that grass? If you want to just cut, don't cut that with a lawnmower like that. Yeah. Cut it down.
Yeah. No, but he's going to do a good job for me today because he's a lovely fella, right? But he's given me a quote already. I've gone. Right,
that works. Imagine he introduced himself as a real bad bastard.
Yeah. So he's quoted me for the job. He's doing it now at the moment, right? I was like, brilliant. But I've already got a nice tip for him lined up. I'm not tight with money.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because I like the guy and he's doing a good job. But what I'm saying, when it comes to companies and all these companies that are fucking out there taking money off you, like gas and electric, I'm ready for the winter.
So this guy went away uh-huh. with his family, two young kids, friends and their kids. Uh-huh. He had one priority, Somersby cider.
Yes.
And he sent Somersby me a picture cider. As soon as he got there, he got stocked up, got the Somersby in the fridge.
But you know what? I think life's very important.
What a great quote.
Listen.
This is the headline for the podcast.
Stick it on the wall. Life is very important. But I think sometimes in life, in the nature of the job that we do, you've very little free time aside. You're not on leave. You're always thinking about the next. You're working. You're doing your taxes. You're, you know, on EasyJet extra. I'm doing all this stuff. I said, you know, I'm going away for 2 weeks and I'm switching off. Now, there's a couple of times I had to plug back into the Matrix to check a few emails.
You did an audition when he was away?
Yeah, I did.
Self-tape.
But for the most part, it's like, you know what? I'm going to go enjoy my holiday with my kids. Now, that was my plan. Those two children of mine had other ideas. They were potentially the two biggest pricks on the fucking, in the country of Portugal. for two weeks.
Portugal pricks?
They were just not. And the thing about it is, see, when you have young kids, you know yourself, you think you go on holidays, it's going to be very chill. You're with them 24/7 entirely for 2 weeks. Contained in a...
There's no...
It's hard.
Switch off.
Yeah.
Because even if they're asleep, like during the day, it's reset.
Mm-hmm. You're getting the ready house ready for apartment ready for the evening.
Reset the damage they have done.
Yes.
So David didn't have a relaxing time.
No.
So can I ask you a question? When you went on holiday and when you go on holiday, I know you were in Mallorca or whatever recently, but you go with the kids and stuff like that. Do you guys, obviously you go out at night for a bit of dinner and they have to be in bed for whatever, 8, 9 o'clock, whatever that is. Is there a way that, do you then sit on the balcony and have a beer or can the hotel supply you with a babysitter or anything like?
Oh God, no.
No? I don't know.
I'm sure.
Certainly not in Portugal. They've not a good track record for that. You know, I wouldn't trust them.
Yeah.
Like you could, right?
Say that to your kids when they're going to sleep at night. If you don't be careful, you'll be the next man if you can.
Yeah, that's what he said.
You're going places, we just don't know where.
So you could do that, I'm sure. But I have the best ideas of like, oh, see, as soon as they go to bed, let's get a few ciders in. You know, let's sit out in the balcony, we'll get the Bluetooth speaker. You're done. You've worked all day.
But what is good? Now, see, when we were away with another couple and our two kids, and we know Swingers. Them, by the way. And they, when we were there, so... They were in the same. We're in the same villa, basically.
Oh. Sharing a villa with another family. That's
sure
a
bit.
He
I couldn't do that now.
He was my friend from I was 5 years old. We've been friends all this time, you know. And it's nice that we've got kids and our wives get on and everything. That was nice. So what we made a deal with.
No, you
so,
told me.
So whenever
what
they
did you mean? Never said that.
Whenever they went, so like we made a couple of deals where like if all the kids are asleep. You know, we just take one bit of clothes off. You know, in the pool, see where... No, so like, Catherine and I could go out for dinner for a night.
And they'll mind the kids.
They'll watch the kids. They do that. Then me and him went for a night out. Strippers. And then...
As strippers, you do.
And then, like, the wives get to go out. So you get, like, probably a couple of nights out each, which is a nice time.
Your wife met Dean Bors?
Yeah.
Dean Bors?
Yeah.
Oh, really? In Portugal? Yeah. What was he like?
He was out of his mind, but he was having a good time.
Such a bad deal impression.
Yeah, but
is he
blue?
Is that Blue?
No,
he was that night. Yeah. he's in
that,
another
is
level.
That, is that the band Blue?
No, another level.
Oh right,
Freak Me Baby. Oh yeah,
I want to leave.
How does
down
he make money now? What's he doing?
DJ, I think.
Yeah,
Dave. What was the song they did with Jay-Z? No, I don't.
Was it
Wanna Be Alone? Yeah.
No more.
No more.
No more. Yeah.
Another level where they're shit.
Like, were they?
Yeah.
Were they part of that early 2000s boy band age kind of thing?
But they were almost just...
No, they were like... There's British boy bands. The Boyzones and stuff. Oh, sorry. Irish boy. And the Take That's of the world. E17.
Yeah.
And then there was like another level tried to be a wee bit more American. You know what I mean? A wee bit more like Boys to Men kind of vibe about them.
Boys to Men.
Like... Whereas like Boyzone were like desperately singing about, if you don't go out with me, my girlfriend, I'll kill myself, that sort of thing. Whereas another
Never
level,
heard that one.
Were, but you know what I mean? They're always like, and if I love you and if you don't stay with me, I'll die. All this sort of stuff. British boy bands. Whereas another level, like, I want to lay you down. Come on, sex.
Let me lick you up and down till you say stop.
I mean, that's not a sex.
That's a crime. That's crime.
Yeah.
That's a crime.
It also means like, you're licking like the top of her head.
Yeah. And like her toe right the whole way up. It's like, what are you doing?
Are you saying stop yet? Yeah. I'm licking you up and down.
That's why you go to jail.
Yeah. Westlife went to the gig. Only one of two music concerts ever went out. I walked out early.
Why?
Went to Westlife.
You couldn't handle it.
It's a lot of shite.
Whereabouts?
At Manchester Evening News Arena.
You go by yourself?
No. Two of us went. I just went, I'm out enough for this.
Who was the other one?
But hold on. Surely a Westlife gig is a Westlife gig.
Yeah. I got free tickets.
Right. Okay. Well, that's different. I'm going to say, what do you...
It wasn't even full either, like... So it wasn't as
you
if,
weren't
like,
or that.
What era are we talking about of Westlife?
Mid 2000s.
Brian or no Brian?
Brian was just gone.
That's prime. Brian mugged himself. He thought he was Robbie. He's not.
Remember his solo song?
No, it was Friday's Child or something, was it?
Yeah.
Not good.
He'd regret that, does he?
I mean, of course. Because he's looking at Robbie Williams as the blueprint and he's going, yeah. But the only thing is, Robbie Williams is charismatic and can sing and is good looking.
Yeah.
Brian is no news.
Robbie. At the minute, what are we at? What's he at?
Oh, Robbie's prime. I went down to see him.
No, he's not prime.
He is prime.
He's not prime.
What's happening to him? Why? What's happened?
Oh, no. He is killing... Robbie...
Has he disappeared or something?
Oh,
no.
He's on a world tour, actually, so let's not...
It's the hair, it's the gear. I mean, do what makes you happy, but
is
like...
Is it gear as in clothes, or are we talking gear?
No,
like
he
clothes.
Shouldn't have a mullet. Oh, no one should have a mullet. If you have a mullet, you should be euthanized. But he, as a man
crisis.
In his nearly 50s, shouldn't have a mullet. But as a performer... He was saying he needs to get injections every night because his back's doing bad things to him, doing terrible things, or seizing up. But see when he hits that stage, wow.
But to me, it's like some of the music he'd done. Mm-hmm. Like, remember that Party Like a Russian song?
Yeah.
But why is he doing all that?
Rude box, shake your rude box. Why
are you
so
nasty?
Great like, song.
Did he do a swing album as well?
Yes. Yeah. He tried to have a Vegas residency and funded it himself. And I think he talks quite openly about it, where he's like, I tried to have a Vegas residency, spent a lot of money on it, and it just didn't work. And I suppose now I'm thinking about it, it's very hypocritical of me to be like, why does he not just like strip the look back a bit, you know, the get rid of the mullet? He doesn't need, I'm like, he doesn't need all that.
He's trying too hard.
The guy's got some incredible songs, and he's a great entertainer. So you're like, if you did all that and you just got back into what made you so popular, he could be doing net worth again and that kind of thing.
Do you know what?
But
he probably could.
I know, but I'm just thinking. But maybe I just don't make him happy.
Yeah.
Maybe what he's doing now, he's just
you
having
loads
of fun.
Here's the thing. Because you think when he was back prime Robbie, in the Angels Robbie, he was young.
Feel.
Free. Single. He had itchy balls. You know what I'm saying? He was bucking all around him. And
needs
he
manscape.
Had STIs. You know? Now he's married. He's old. He's got kids. All he wants to do is go and do his wee shows.
Yeah.
Go back to the family. It's all good. There's no party and there's no gear.
What was the other concert you walked out of?
Great. Richard Ashcroft. A load of shite.
Speaking of gear.
Three songs. I lasted three songs.
Where?
I'll tell you why I did. Manchester Old Trafford Cricket Ground. Razorlight ran before him.
Oh, why?
Remember Razorlight? Oh, Mid-2000s again. I used to go to loads of gigs. Razorlight ran. Love a bit of Razorlight.
Actually, the Manscaped Lawnmower 3.0 is one of those.
What?
A Razorlight for shaving.
Yeah, that's a great call.
Razorlight were really good. It was like a Saturday afternoon. Arctic Monkeys were on the Sunday or the Friday night. Saw them on the Friday. Went back on the Saturday for Richard Ashcroft. Razorlight really good. Richard Ashcroft come on, and he comes on, and I'm in like the middle bit, and I'm like, right, we'll give this guy a go. Comes on, does the first song. I'm like, all right, he's mad. Second song starts going into politics, talking about Iran, and I went, listen, man, this isn't news night, like.
Yep.
I'm here for a gig.
Yep.
Third song.
Wasn't good.
Does a 5-minute rant on Tony Blair and George W. Bush. Right. I went, you know what?
Yeah, I'm with you there.
Take care, man.
Yep.
I'm not here to learn about politics. I'm here to listen to your songs.
You know what? That's how I would have reacted if I was in wherever the 1975 were and they started snogging dudes. I'd be like, listen, it's not the way
they're. Or he's rubbing here. Like, you know, pork fillet up and down his face.
Yeah, I'd be like, you know what? Nah.
But do you know what? When I see somebody like the 1975 doing stuff like that out in Malaysia, you think to yourself, like, he's kind of going like, oh, this is great. This is great PR, like.
Yeah.
And there's a little part of me that kind of goes, he's gone, created a massive controversy.
I'd love it if you did it at the Empire next week.
You know.
You just go with a bag of pork chops.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
But you know what I would love? Because bands, and they think they're above laws. I'd love it if the Malaysian Prime Minister just cut his hand off. He's like, hey man, listen, these are our rules. Good dish. I'd be like, yeah,
do, you know, do that. I just find it like...
Hold the mic now, no hands.
You know, sometimes people are trying to create, and he's on stage with a bottle of wine, isn't it? And he doesn't, he kind of, I just kind of, it's a bit try hard for me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I watched Glasto. Did you watch Glasto?
Oh, wow. I just watched Elton.
Do you know what I loved? Elton John, right? The guy looked like he was loving it.
He was.
And I was like going, look at this guy, whatever is he, 70 odd, just having a time of his life.
He's in his late 70s.
Yeah. And did you hear about how we got home? Did you hear the story about how we got home? Right. So he lives in Windsor. Right, which is kind of like near Reading, whatever, right? So I watched it and I loved it. You know,
Legoland?
Is that Windsor? That kind of area, right? Yeah.
So, does Elton live in Legoland?
He lives out by there. But anyway, it's kind of near, just before Reading, I think. And is it Berkshire?
Can you guys just look up the exact location of Windsor?
But anyway, so I really enjoyed Elton John. Came on, did his thing. Fantastic, crowd loving it. He walked off the stage. This is how we got home. I heard this on BBC Radio 1. There was a golf cart waiting for him at the back of the stage. That took him a 10-minute drive to another part of the festival where there was a helicopter. Mm-hmm. Into the helicopter, 40 minutes, straight over to Windsor, drop down. He was home within the hour.
That's a way to do it.
Home within the hour.
Van Morrison or something like that in his contracts, doesn't he? If he's gigging anywhere in the UK, has to be home by 11 in his bed. Yeah. Or he gets furious.
That's the dream.
Isn't that the dream? Like,
you just get home.
Yeah.
Home for match of the day.
Absolutely amazing. Like, so... So fair play to him, but I mean, have you done Glasto? Is that that type of thing? I did it once. Is that the kind of thing you would do?
I've no, said never. It before. I'll do it
if you gig.
I'll do it if I. I'll do it, but I've got to be. I have to be in like a top level accommodation.
Well, I did it
top level.
The year I've done a lot of the music festivals. I did a comedy tent, so I've done Leeds, Reading, Latitude, done them all. And the thing is, if you're performing, you get a couple of tickets for the weekend.
Yeah.
You get. Performers camping.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Now you still have to camp and bring your own tent, but you do get your own private showers and you get food vouchers, and it is a little bit more comfortable. It's a lot more quiet where you are.
Yeah.
But Glastonbury, they do have a comedy tent, and I'd love to do it to go back. The year I went, it rained, and I just tell you now, we arrived on the late Wednesday night we arrived, and by Saturday morning, like, I was desperate to kind of, I've done now. Like, yep. You couldn't. It was just so hard with the rain.
How old were you when you went? Because I think it's an
before comedy. I was like 25.
I think once you hit 30, camping.
No, but Glastonbury. I'm telling you, Glastonbury is for everybody.
Yeah,
there's people there.
Families
who are 65 and they've been going for 20 years, and there's people there that bring their 2-year-old kids. It is so friendly.
It is a real
friendly place. Like,
yeah.
It's not one of those like Leeds and Reading. Never go there again.
Genuinely, I would only bring my 2-year-old to Glastonbury to just release her.
Yeah,
like, on you go. Bye. Yeah, that's enough.
I know. Yeah, but look, I'd highly recommend it. But it is a bit of a ball ache in terms of getting there and getting out and stuff like that. But that's why the helicopter thing, you know.
Let me ask you this: I'm doing a venue I've never done before coming up on my tour. I'm sure you've done it, Olympia, Dublin.
Never done it.
Never
done it. Don't gig in Dublin a lot.
I'd never been in it. I thought
unreal,
done support for
Chris
someone.
Kent done it, I think, and he told me it was unbelievable.
I went and saw it for the first time this week.
Yeah, I saw it on your Instagram. Listen, enjoy it.
Yeah.
Embrace it.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Go for it. Olympia's got a great reputation. A lot of great comedians have passed there. So good luck. Enjoy it, you know?
Davey, Wall Garden and Bangor coming up?
Yes, Wall Garden, 19th of August. It's a Saturday.
What have you got planned for that? You're very...
Well, I'm going to grow a wee bit of a mullet at the back and wear a golden vest.
Yeah.
Kind of Robbie Williams.
Yeah.
You know what? I feel like it's a home... I wasn't going to do a big show this year. The opportunity came up to do the home city. Fun place. You know, been there with you before. Love it. Lovely venue.
The wall... Have you done Wall Garden?
No.
It's beautiful.
Do you want to do it with me?
I'd love to.
See the hospitality. We're talking about hospitality. They erect
themselves.
They erect a backstage area that is, you know, when you watch like a movie, like say like Braveheart or something, and the king is on the battlefield, but they've but put up this big like marquee for him.
Yeah.
And there's rugs and there's everything. It's like you're a historic Indian king,
mm-hmm.
and you're on a battlefield.
Brilliant.
They would set this up for you.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
Great.
You can get hot water,
rugs,
tea, change like room lights,
satin. You know.
No, what's this, Satan?
Yeah,
cult friendly.
And they've got a spread on for you. There's a kettle there.
Yeah, psychic everything. Glenn.
Makes you want to. When a venue make an effort. It's the place you want to go every year.
Yes, yeah. And the staff are the loveliest people.
People don't realise that when an effort is made for you, you go, this is the place to go. And you send out an axe there as well, and it benefits everybody, you know?
Yeah.
It's great.
Will you do that as like a former, you'll send an axe to like...
I get a lot of you... Huh?
Will you like engrave the axe, or is it just like a standard axe?
I don't get jokes.
Yeah.
I don't get jokes.
Davey, will you be wearing anything like different, you know, at the Walgarden? Can we see, like, because you sort of tease, like, mm-hmm. you parodied Sam Smith's poster for your poster, so will there be any?
I think you should come out with a robe, you know, and those big sticks, like the king, and then as your performance is about to begin, two maids come out and they unrobe you.
Yeah.
No, psychic Glenn.
I've been watching a lot of
Eat My Ass, and I'd love it.
Are you calling him out?
It's a wee treat.
No, that is the crossover we need.
Yeah,
Andrew and Psychic Glenn.
Oh, I'd love to. I'd never
love to see.
But I saw a clip that I've never met Psychic Glenn. Seems like a good crack, right?
Oh, it's great.
But Dave, did you see the clip that they put up?
Yes.
And I've not. I look, as comedians, you know, we sometimes don't laugh. We kind of go, "Well, that was good."
Yeah, mm-hmm.
You know what I mean. And I saw that, and I swear to God, I was howling. Like, I don't know who the guy is. I'm sure he's a lovely man.
Oh yeah,
it's so funny. Like, you, oh my God,
I'd love to meet him. Yeah,
you know, you're talking about
the travel.
Let's get it on.
The travel show.
You and Glenn.
Let's do it here.
You and Glenn. Where could we send them to?
Oh, the Ring of Kerry. I think you, Glenn, Ring of
Kerry. Cool. I'd love to meet. We should do a podcast together, me and Glenn. See what the crack is.
Please. Do you think you can handle Glenn's energy?
Well, we'll discuss it if it's too much.
That's a conversation I would love to see.
I'm like, Glenn.
Yeah.
Bring it down, man.
Yeah. Oh, it doesn't come down.
No.
It does not come down.
Glenn's like, you know, a wee helium balloon, and if you let go of it, there's no getting it back.
It's the beauty of the world. Everybody makes the world go around, and it's great. Can I just say, I'm a very... I'm one of these uncles. I'm an uncle, right?
Yeah.
No, right. You need to be careful how you work.
One of these uncles
that is brimming with excitement. My nephew's 12, has just signed for Cork City Academy.
Oh, great.
Nice.
And he's just signed his contract yesterday. He signed it last night.
Now,
and I am buzzing.
If I were you, I'd be thinking, what free gear can I get? I want Cork City.
You should have seen the gear he's got already.
Training kits. Someone.
The gear he picked up. He's got his own nutritionist.
Oh, nice.
And he did a couple of camps with Villarreal. He's goalkeeper, left-footed. Mm-hmm. Can play football as well, not just you know what I mean.
So like, play out from the back,
plays out from the back, mm-hmm. and my brother's saying to me that they think he'll go to Germany.
Why Germany?
Because he's very technically advanced, and they think
but
that.
Is he not just signed for Cork? That's disrespectful to be like, nah, we
Cork are twinned with clubs in Germany. They've got things going.
So Dave, we're seeing me and Dave, huge football fans. We're seeing this.
That's
firsthand.
Why I wanted to bring it up to let you know.
You know when like the family. Uh-huh. Start putting out statements out there and getting involved.
Oh, I'm
how
involved.
Early is he? What age is he? 15?
12.
Andrew's at 12.
Just turned 13. Actually.
Family sources have revealed the player is angling for a move to Germany. The ink hasn't dried in his contract.
Yeah. Can I quote this podcast in a lot of papers as well?
Yeah.
Oh, I FaceTimed him the other day and I gave him that sort of motivational talk about his future and stuff, you know. I did the
motivational talk. I go to the gym to stay the same. Never improve.
If you're going to Germany, are you flying at a Cork airport? Are you going to Dublin? Where are you getting
it? I'll do the sky scanner for you. You've got a hotel because I get 15% discount on booking.com. I'm on the EasyJet Secret Club. I'll get you a good seat.
I think EasyJet Secret Club is something they just told you to get you away from the desk. One day, they're like, if you leave, we'll make you part of the Secret Club.
It's invite only.
Yeah.
It's called Flight Plus.
Okay,
it's invite only.
Yeah.
But no, I'm really buzzing last night. I did a FaceTime with him last night. It was just one of those things, you know, when you see a kid that loves what he does. Yeah. And I just said to him, I said, all you have to do is do your best. And I said, that's all anyone expects you to do.
And your brother's like, fuck up, Andrew. You need to do better than that. You need to be elite level. No, this is our pension right here.
He's 13 years of age, right?
He was 12.
You do your best. No, he's just... It was
birthday. Birthday there now.
See, the last 5 minutes.
No, I said it earlier. Sorry, he's actually 13, right?
Right. Remember Taribo West, the Nigerian? this guy's 23. Yeah. They're like, here he is. He's 12.
But no, I'm buzzing for him. So he's going to be playing in Dublin, he's going to be playing in Derry, Londonderry. So I'm going to be going up to see him play. He's going to be playing all over the country, and he's going to be playing against, like, you know, Shamrock Rovers Academy and all that. So exciting times, very proud, you know. But yeah, he's brilliant. I've seen loads of obviously seen lots of clips of him and seen him train and stuff like that, like, and you kind of go, and his coach as well.
How big is he?
He's big enough. Like, I mean, he's 12, 13. So, like, he will grow. Like, my brother is just over 6 foot, so...
I don't mean height.
Oh, in height-wise?
Do you...
I don't know. I don't know.
That was a dick joke, but don't worry about it.
Let me ask you...
5 foot or something?
Let me ask you about a gig that stands out recently, whether it's a terrible gig or a great gig. Give me a bad one, like corporate or something. Davey?
Ooh. Did I have a shitter recently? Yes, I did. I was doing a corporate, and I went, and someone called me Dean. Here he is, as we so on do, he turns Dean Elliot here.
Where was this?
And I mean, I can't say where it is because I'll give it away, but it may have been Locker and Resort. And
right,
and, yeah, went on. So brought me on. Then like the event was a golf day for a company. They got off the golf course, 2 o'clock. I was on stage 10 o'clock.
Oh.
Yeah. So, all I'm saying, pints were had.
Old boys having 8 hours of drinking.
But a lot of the old boys wanted to go to bed about 6, I think.
Oh, you should have been on before it started, man.
I know, I suggested that, but they weren't having it. Then the mic died. So then I had to do it.
Is he one of the old boys?
Just with no sound. Then one of the staff whipped out a karaoke machine with a speaker. And then I got the mic, and because it sounded very much like karaoke mic, I started singing a bit of Sweet Caroline. They liked that more than anything else.
Yeah, that's the danger of that.
I went home, and they were enjoying it. And then, worst of all, I bumped into, one of the guys was at it, was working in a petrol station. It was Dave Elliott, and I went, yeah, and he goes, oh, I saw you recently. And I was like, oh, I did you? And he goes, a lock urn. And I went, oh, yeah, okay.
Oh, man, that's their view of you. Yeah. Forever now.
Yeah.
I had two, but years ago, I had two corporates in a row in the Sleeve Donard in Newcastle. One was so bad, like the worst. There was a legal dispute after it and stuff.
Because of you?
Because of not getting paid full amount.
Oh, right, okay.
But it was terrible. Every aspect of it was terrible. I came back like a week later, and I was joking with the staff, because the staff were like, being dead on, but being like, didn't expect to see you back after that last one, man. And I went, I know, I was like, hey, hopefully tonight's a wee bit better. It was as bad.
Oh, and so, I had one before I lived in Belfast here. I flew over from London to do it. There's a hotel that's a little bit out in the countryside. Is it a Crown Plaza or something? Or
yeah, Shaw's Bridge.
Yes.
It's one of those things. Anyway, got booked in to do some finance awards. Just came over, flew in, taxi out. They said to me, right, Andrew, you're going on at like 10 o'clock. You know, I was hosting it. But they wouldn't say the hosting started at 9, but the comedy wasn't put in until 10:15. And in my head, I was like, when I start the show, can I just do it there?
Yes.
While they're all looking the right way. Perfect, right? I had to stick to the structure of the show. We do the classic, welcome to the show, here's your first speaker, blah, 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 blah. Then they played a video of children who have cancer to raise money. And they're all watching it. And then they go, please welcome back on your host for the evening, comedian Andrew Ryan. And that's me there, what I have to do my 15
minutes. That's your warm-up. Right? So they're watching you being like really straight. And yeah. Just, and then, like,
then they do a cancer video. And then I have to come on and be like, all right. So I go back on. And I'm telling, when I say I suffer trauma, I genuinely thought I was weeing myself from trauma.
Yeah.
But my legs were shaking. You know, you see a dog shake. You see one of the dog's legs shake.
As in, they were just giving you nothing.
And I mean, and when I say nothing, I have never experienced silence like it. Now, we all die and we all bomb, right? But I remember doing the first gag, bang, nothing. Second gag, bang, nothing. I'm like, ah, lads, will you come on now? Bang, nothing. Then I acknowledge what's happening here, right? And there were 85% men, right? 15% women. So I do it. I'm down to do 15. And I think I looked at my watch and I said, I'm calling it a day here at 9:30, 10.
Yeah.
So I then have a couple of more bits to do, house admin of the show, whatever. Finished the show and I went, whoa, that was tough. There's two bars in the hotel. Huh. So I finish. The guy that booked me and brought me over when I arrived, he was my point of contact. Say his name was Shane. I was like, hi, Shane, nice to meet you. Oh, great to see you, Andrew. Thanks very much. Saw a few of your clips. Really enjoy. You'll have a great time tonight. This is it. Everything okay? Blah, blah, blah. Make sure you do this. Blah, 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 blah. He won't speak to me after the event. He won't come near me. So I'm standing in a room. There's a couple of staff members marketing and all that kind of stuff. And I'm like, it's kind of like they're going, oh, that was tough going. He came in. Sarah, have we got the raffle prizes? John, have we got the taxis booked for the Lord Mayor or whatever the hell it was? Okay, everyone? Okay. Just feel attention anyway. So I go, fuck this. So I leave that function room and I decide to go to the second bar, which, because they're in the function bar, I go to the second bar and there's Champions League on or something like that, like highlights, 11 o'clock.
Are you staying in the hotel?
I'm staying in the hotel, right? And they're all staying in the hotel as well, right? So I'm sitting there, shirt off, shirt tie off.
Topless?
Shirt off. I'm not sitting there topless, like, sorry. Tie off, shirt open. I'm relaxing, Dave. I'm on my holidays, right? And I'm sitting there, and as I'm sitting there, now there's a TV on in the corner. I am facing the TV, and the bar was behind me. So you wouldn't know it was me.
Right.
They asked, a few people came out and started talking about me. And I just went, I need to leave.
Be like, what is that going to have? Sure.
No, but I need to just go to the room. I don't want to hear this, right? I've died on my arse, right? Fair enough, I've died on my arse, right? I get up, I've half a pint of Guinness left, I get up and I go, just to finish the Guinness. And as I turn around, there's one guy standing there. Uh-huh. And he went, I thought you were supposed to be funny. He said it to my face. Uh-huh. We were like, your name is in the brochure as a comedian. When was the comedy starting? Like, he went direct at me. Yeah, and I just went, that's one of those things. He went, yeah, it is. Yeah, isn't it? He was so... Now, this wasn't the organizer. This was a guest.
Yeah, yeah.
And I just went into the room, text me agent at like 11:45, and I went, mate, have we been paid?
Yeah.
And he didn't text back till the morning. He went, yeah, we've been paid. And I went, what happened? I said, ring me when I get off the flight at 11. I said, the feedback's going to be awful.
Yeah.
And he rang me and he went, yeah, it wasn't great, but it's life.
Yeah.
Move on. Never. And
can I just say, I'm sorry I brought you over for it?
You know what I mean? But you ever like walk down the street? And some days those gigs come into the head.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
They come in, you're like, Jesus, the trauma of it.
Yeah.
I had the worst gig of all time, ever.
Which
still one? This day. It was in Dundonald, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And I didn't have another gig for a week after that. And that whole week, I just thought, should I be doing this? This provides food for my kids. Do I need to get another job? You know what I mean? I was in that much.
The best thing is if you have a gig the next night.
Yeah.
Fix there's it. Nothing better. Put it right.
Put it right, yeah.
Get that one out of your head.
Yeah.
But I almost look back at the worst ones with as much fondness as the good ones.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because you go, you know what? On the night at the time, there's nothing, you can't be talked down. There's nothing worse. But a couple of weeks later, when you're joking about it with other comics, you go, we've all had this.
We've all had it, yeah.
But see the one, actually, that terrible gig? Aaron Butler was on your Patreon and spoke about it. And the guy sent him the cut of the clip.
Like the owner of the venue?
The place. It was like, yeah, you're talking shit about my business and all. And he was like, oh, sorry. He goes, no, I thought the whole night was all right. Like, I actually thought the night was all right. Apart from Dave Elliott, he was shit. Like that. And then I texted the guy. I was like, oh, sorry about that. You know, I'm doing a show here. It's sold out. You know, if you and your wife want to come along and see. You know, and then he just was like, oh, I'm sorry. No, sorry. Because he was basically saying,
yeah,
how you can't slag his business by slagging my business.
We can talk about a bad gig in a place, but you're not necessarily going... This hotel or this bar is the worst place. It just happened that the show was there.
Uh-huh. No, like the people that brought me in for the corporate were obviously really decent people and the whole, you know, it was all good, very well produced. I just didn't go down well.
Yeah.
I'm not slagging them off. Obviously, one guy was a bit of an arsehole to me. He obviously doesn't understand the industry and stuff. But like in my head, I would have done the comedy bang as I arrived on stage.
I did one in the Titanic venue, not the hotel, and
not the boat. I think
on the original boat, it was they couldn't hear me, but it was tough, right? It was like it was perfect. Like there was nothing wrong with the way the venue was run. The crowd were all pretty young. It was just like stiff and a bit weird. And then they had a raffle, and they went, "Is there any chance you'll stick about and do the raffle?" And I went, "Yeah, I'll do the raffle." It was killer. It was unreal.
Better than the gig.
They went, "Take the piss out of people." So anyone coming up for a prize, I'm having a laugh with them. I'm doing this. And I said to them, I went, next time I do this, if I do your event again, we're doing the stand-up. I said the raffle
is the stand up.
The raffle comes first. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
That was the icebreaker to get us into it.
Yeah. There are sometimes things, like certain things with stand up. If you have an event, people a lot of time, like, have, if you have work dues, they want to go and have pints. They want to have the crack.
Yeah.
They don't want to sit and watch something. So, like, it's almost better if they're like, oh, could you do half an hour here? If you're like, I'll give you 10.
Well, I was, at a, better, you know I was I mean? At a family wedding Saturday after our Patreon-only live pod at the Crown Plaza on the way home.
Nice hotel.
So I called in and was chatting to my cousin and her husband, and he went, do you want to just jump up? This was at like 11, half 10, 11. And like anyone would say it, you know, he goes, do you want to jump up and do a set? And it's almost hot. He goes, do you want to do half an hour? And he's half joking, but you almost have to go, it wouldn't be good for your wedding. Like, it wouldn't, nobody, the idea of it is, we're going to have a bit of stand-up. It's towards the end of the night.
Oh,
people are already leaving. What you don't want is, like you say, everyone stop talking for half an hour and listen. Nobody wants to listen. So I wouldn't enjoy the performance, and actually you wouldn't enjoy it.
Mm-hmm.
So, like,
I got asked to do a wedding last night in a car park in Llandyboy Golf Course. I went to Llandyboy last night to play golf.
Who's getting married in a car park?
No, but I was putting my gear on. I was sorting out my clubs, Dave. And this guy who'd seen me perform at Llandyboy, as you guys have both performed.
He's getting married in a car park.
No, but he came up to me and he went, you know, you both have performed at my gig at the golf course. I do it a couple of times a year. This guy comes up and he goes, Andrew, how are you getting on? I goes, good. You got out tonight? He goes, yeah, I'm going to play a few holes, blah, blah, blah. And he goes, come here. Took it out his phone. Lovely man now. He goes, 24 September 2024, my son is getting married and I'm wondering, would you do a bit? And I went, I don't do weddings. And he goes, really? He goes, yeah. I said, the last thing you need on that day, I said, is me.
Yeah.
I said, this isn't about me. Let them do it. There's no benefit to having a comedian at a wedding.
I don't do them anymore. I did. I did a lot of them.
How many, out of a percentage, how many of them went well to not going well? Like, what was the overall?
9 out of 10 went well.
Right.
But I was very on it in terms of when I'm going to go on, how long I'm going to do. Yeah, I'm not going to sit and have the meal or anything. I'll come in, I'll do my spot, that's it.
So were you going on before the speeches or after the speech? Because after the speech, they've been sitting there for half an hour, 40 minutes anyway.
Before. And it just worked out that all the couples were really nice people.
Yeah.
Can I talk about this?
Yeah, the first one after COVID. He's like, what Shane's very, very good at, you're a master of getting Sherpas. Take hits.
What do you mean? Was he at the wedding as well?
Yeah. So if he knows something's going to be maybe a wee bit of a stinker, he'll send someone up first to sort of test the water.
The cannon fodder.
Yeah, so he sends fodder.
Have you got a support addict at a wedding?
Yeah. I say, listen, we'll take them a while to get going. I'll bring an opener, no charge to you. And then I pay them out of my money, right? So it's just someone to almost like get everyone listening, tell them the crack,
face the right way.
Bring me on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So basically what you're doing is you're doing all of that so you look amazing.
Yeah. I bring it up.
But you're paying for it though.
Yeah, I pay for it.
My shtick is I am a miserable,
small and grey,
unhappy dad whose life's ruined. He's married, he's miserable, he's two kids. This was the first one back after COVID.
So that wasn't just a shtick?
No. I go back and I'm like, here, listen, are you married already? Yeah. She's divorced, don't do it. And I just expect them, they're like, and you can see the family going.
It was really sad.
Because
I said to him before he went on, I went, whatever you do, do your time. You were to do 10.
Yeah.
I said, just do 10, mate. Whatever it is, do 10.
Uh-huh. 1 minute and 12 seconds in.
I looked into the room and I went, I'm sure he's doing great. He was standing like this with his head down, like being like, guys, getting married is the worst thing I've ever done. Don't
at a wedding.
Yeah.
Have no regrets, but the only thing I regret is getting married. Guys, it's too late. And like, he's not doing any jokes. They're all like this. 9 minutes later, he goes, give it up for Shane Todd.
Yeah.
And it actually went okay, because when I went on with any life in my eyes, they went, oh yeah, this guy's alive. But they've just walked off like it.
But that's my stick. Like, you know off stage, or off, there's no more vibrant guy than me. There's no one full of fervor in life like me, you know. But when I'm on stage, I could get a little bit like life shit. But it's a joke.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like nobody snuggles their kids tighter than me. No one.
I brought Butler to do a gig in Oma, one in the Silver Birches Hotel, and they went, keep it clean. So I said to him,
oh no,
don't swear.
Oh no.
And he didn't.
but he used the phrase, because he's talking about nicknames he had as a kid. He said butt plug pretty early in the set. Not that fucking bad.
That's fine.
There's a few kids at the wedding. Hopefully they don't know what that is. The mother-in-law gets up. I'm at the very back of the room behind a wee window watching this, and he's doing well at that point. Must have been like a big Christian wedding or something. The mother-in-law gets up fuming. The wedding planner is standing beside me.
Oh, no.
The mother-in-law straight in. She doesn't know who I am. She just thinks I'm just maybe a guest or someone standing there. She goes, why has he just said the phrase butt plug? And looks at me, and I just burst out laughing. And she went, what's funny about that? And I was like, like, he just says this.
This is a butt plug.
And she went, this has ruined the day. She goes crazy. But she was the only one kicking up a fuss.
Yeah.
So because she acted like that, it created an atmosphere around everyone.
She's going to be a good mother-in-law, isn't she?
Yeah.
She's going to be the crack.
And the thing is, she's probably really into butt plugs.
Yeah.
That's why she was, you know, she was overcompensating.
That's what they do.
I bet she'd want in right there and there.
Probably.
You should have popped it out.
Is that the noise they make when you bring it out?
Yeah. No, it's more like... splat. Yeah. It's gross.
Andrew, what have you got coming up? What
got my special coming out in August. I filmed.
Hopefully.
Yeah.
You're just doing word of mouth. If you ring him, he tells you.
I do it on a voice note.
Yeah.
Oh, especially
YouTube? On YouTube?
YouTube, yeah. And it's on Instagram, usual stuff. It'll all be out. So when we get that finished. And then what have I got done? I'm writing my new tour show for 2024. So I've booked I've preliminary booked. I can't do it yet, but I've kind of preliminary booked Fringe 2024. And then a tour in September 2024 across UK and Ireland and Europe. Going to do quite a bit in Europe next year. And just doing the radio in the mornings and having a bit of a summer, man. I haven't really had much of a summer for having a few weekends off. Hosting Pride Festival tomorrow. Hosting the parade. Not the parade. The roadcaster for.
They must be paying you a lot because I know your views.
Whoa. Filthy lads. It's disgusting. Muck. A Hoover bag full of dirty shit. A Hoover bag full of skirting boards. Dusty skirting boards.
That's the name of one of the drag queens.
Fucking jizzy door handles. Huh? You're coming at me with your faces.
She's another one, jizzy door handles.
Huh?
That's me and you, Dave, on the drag scene.
Yeah, jizzy door handles and dirty skirting boards.
Sticking it in all the keyholes.
All right, man. Cork in the North podcast.
Cork in the North podcast, Q Radio in the morning, having a bit of a writing loads, filming for a few bits at the moment, and just kind of enjoying a bit. I'm feeling good, feeling healthy, feeling
trying
happy.
Trying to relax.
Yeah. I'm feeling healthy and I'm feeling really good at the moment. I'm in a good place in my life.
Bar your haircut, you do seem a bit more relaxed.
Well, yeah. I actually am very relaxed.
Good.
You know, we've a lot of things going on, but sure, we keep going, you know.
David?
Yes, Walled Garden show role play on the 19th of August. Still some tickets left for that. And yeah, just out and about doing
SGP.
Things. Yeah, what's SGP?
Sly Guy Podcast.
Sly Guy Podcast. Shit, I totally forgot about the Sly Guy Podcast. It's out every Thursday as well. And been doing a wee bit in Radio 2 myself. Radio Ulster, though, not.
Radio 2?
Yeah, no, Radio Ulster.
All right.
You said
Radio 2.
Ulster, Radio ITO.
Okay, we'll call it a day there, folks. Thank you for watching. Thank you for listening. I'm on tour all over the place. SheanTalkComedy.com. Come and see some of the shows. Sipper, God love you. If you've made it all the way through this episode, that means you love Tea With Me, you love this podcast, or it means like you've drifted off and you've just left this on play. Either way, what you need to do is head over to our Patreon. If you enjoy the podcast and you want more tea, that's where you go. We do a bonus episode called The Special Brew every Monday and a live stream podcast every Friday with some of your favorite comedians. You can chat, interact, ask questions. When we announce live podcasts, you get early access to tickets with a little bit of a discount on there. And there is so much more. You can go back and watch, I think, nearly 1,000 hours of content. Tea With Me Patreon, which is patreon.com/teawithmepodcast. The link is in the description. I'll see you there.